welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian Tudor, along with
Johnny.
Wow, that is just some
I don't have to say my last name at this point.
It's not your last name. It was just the enthusiasm Johnny. That went along with that, Johnny.
It's more my relaxed attitude.
And we have a special guest in studio this time. So last week we had someone on the phone. This week we have...
I'm Freddie Morris. I'm from Night of the Living Podcast.
Night of the Living Podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're excited to have you on. Both Johnny and I listen to your show. He a little more religiously than I do, just because I listen
like
a lot
every
of.
Week.
Thanks, Johnny.
No problem.
I listen to a lot of like marketing podcasts, like and you know that kind of stuff. But anyway, so Night of the Living Podcast obviously has something to do with horror, and zombies.
Show.
I'm guessing so.
Yeah, well, not zombies as frequently as you would think. I think we're all a little burnout on zombies, but
yeah.
Well,
you guys have been at it for a long time.
We've been at it for 10 years, so like, it was started out because our very first episode, we thought we were gonna like compare and contrast horror remakes, and we did the remake of George Romero's Night of the Living Dead that Tom Savini did, so we named the show Night of the Living Dead.
Nice.
Which both of them are awesome.
They are both awesome.
Yeah, they're both
I agree.
Awesome, so.
Yep.
I like Savini's, I think, just for the fact of Tony Todd.
Yeah.
Tony like Todd knocks it out of the park in that movie.
I think anything with Tony Todd is good.
Yeah, he's so. Wonderful.
Yeah, any wonderful convention character with Tony Todd is good.
He's a wild man.
You're going to see some crazy stuff.
And so, just speaking of conventions and horror movies, the other thing is you work for Horror Hound.
Yeah, I write for Horror Hound magazine, and I do Horror Hound radio with Jason Cretton and Aaron Kroll. And a lot of times we'll have the editor, Nathan Hanneman, on that show.
Very cool.
So that's a lot of fun. And that's something also, just a weird coincidence, they also started in Cincinnati the same year that we did.
Yeah. Cool.
So we have that in common.
Yeah, I think I literally met everybody within the same like few months.
Yeah.
I think it was at Horror Hound.
Yeah, it was at Horror Hound that we met. Yep.
I know, Johnny, like you go to Horror Hound every year.
Pretty much.
And
the one here more than the one in Indianapolis, just because it falls at a bad time of the year for me. So.
And it's convenient.
Yeah. The one here, it's like I can go all weekend and, you know... Freddie's there and other people I know are there. I mean, you guys set up.
Yeah,
there,
we have a table at each show. We do radio remote type stuff and
literally like you do interviews and just stuff at the table.
Yeah.
It's awesome because that's usually like a 2 hour long episode and you know, I work a third shift, so a 2 hour long episode is like you know,
it's your perfect overnight,
time. And it's just them talking about walking by at some point. And I'm like, hey, I've seen that guy.
It's funny. Yeah, sometimes it devolves into like people watching.
Nice. Like, oh, look at this guy.
Like,
we've talked about like getting a booth at like one of the comic book shows or something like that.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's that monetary thing. We don't make any money off of this.
Well,
so.
You know, the thing is, if you're providing a service to the people who run a show when you're a podcast and you're setting up at their show.
Yeah, true.
It's free advertising.
Oh, yeah.
So you should definitely do it.
I was thinking we could do just like a live stream on like YouTube or Blab or something like that.
That would be awesome.
Just like all day beyond. So, you know, every once in a while, it's just an empty booth.
Yeah. Well, then you can also drag over artists and writers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and we did that this year, actually. Yeah. I went around and just on Sunday of the Cincinnati Comic Expo, I grabbed like four of the most random people who have, I think two of them, they're like, I've never, ever been interviewed for anything in my life. And, you know, so it was just kind of a cool thing to talk to these people who, you know, travel from town to town.
Yeah, and they were literally
hawking
like
their art.
Regional, so they're like Michigan and
Cleveland
and Indianapolis.
Indianapolis
there,
was the other one.
So yeah.
I love
they
that.
They were cool.
And it is shocking sometimes these people are massively talented and they've never been on like a radio show or a podcast or you're like, you haven't been because you never know what you're going to discover. You might be the person that discovers some major
like
artist.
Audra Lockhart, her stuff was amazing. And then Amy, who did, she drew heroes like hugging villains and stuff like that.
Oh, I love
it. It was this really cool thing.
Superhero hugs.
And my daughter, who you just met when you walked in, I call her the Kid Bot 07. she drew Captain America hugging Peggy Carter for my wife, and my wife took a picture of it and sent it to the girl who does the hugs, and she put it in her newsletter, and she was really excited about it. So,
cool.
Yeah, and like when I interviewed her, Kibot was with me, and when we were done with our interview, she sat there and asked her like 10 questions, you know, about art and things like that. So it was fun.
That is really cool.
But anyway, so okay, so you have Night of the Living podcast. You write for Horror Hound.
Yeah.
Are you involved with the actual shows in Indianapolis and Cincinnati, or
just in the respect that we do? Yeah, coverage of it. So we cover the film festival. We'll review the movies at the film festival. We'll do celebrity interviews.
Very cool.
And then it's kind of crazy because not only will we have Night of the Living podcast and Horror Hound Radio sharing, you know, the table, and mm-hmm. I'm working on both of those. But we have friends who do a show called Bloody Good Horror, and we try to have them come out as much as possible, and we'll also work on their stuff with them.
Are they still in Florida?
Or? No, he's Eric, who is the producer of that show. He's been all over the country.
Okay.
So he's back home in New York.
Oh, cool.
And you know, he's bounced all over the place.
Sure, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's what's cool about a podcast is it's mobile enough that you could go pretty much anywhere with it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to take your friends with you, but it's like, you know, we've learned from doing this one, you can call people and do it over the phone.
Well, that's the cool thing about their show is they're all scattered all over the country.
So they all just record over...
They record over Skype.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, they're really fun. They were kind of like our... We always said they were like our sister podcast because we've done a lot together over the years, and they're like family.
Nice.
So it's really fun.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're still relatively new to the podcasting thing. I mean, this is our 29th episode total. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like we're still like learning the ropes.
Yours this week was 442.
I think so.
I wrote it down. I was
and we're still learning. So, like, I don't think that stops. And
I like that you guys talked about the David Guest for your consideration.
Oh,
like,
that's one of my favorite movies.
It's so one of my favorite David Guest movies.
Yeah, so. His stuff is fantastic. Yeah.
Best in Show is still my favorite of his.
Yeah, you know, but... I have a hard time. It changes. Like, what'll happen is my favorite Guest movie is always the last one I saw, I think. Because I always forget things that are so wonderful about them. Yeah.
It's like Waiting for Guffman. I mean, like, it's a classic, but like, you know, it's like, oh, this is my favorite. But then, you know, like you said, you watch another one, you're like, no, this one's my favorite.
Always find a reason. Yeah, because when we watched 4 years, the reason, and people are probably wondering, why is a horror podcast covering 4 year consideration?
Well, I was going to ask that.
Yeah, but it comes down to, it's a palate cleanser thing we all decided to do once a year because we all have birthdays in the late winter.
Oh, cool.
That we would let, if, you know, each person pick a movie or a TV show or book or whatever that we would all cover together, and it could be anything.
Oh, nice.
So Andy picked 4 year consideration, and because he's a huge, you know, Christopher Guest fan, mm-hmm. he's really into him. So, like, he was like, I'm gonna do this year. Last year he did his picks
Steel
are always
Magnolias.
Great. Yeah, Steel Magnolias last
and
year.
And reenacted a scene from it all.
Oh, wow.
He's a trip, so.
Love him. That's funny.
That was great. I mean, he had inflections down.
Oh, okay.
Characters.
Oh, he's memorized every line in the movie.
And it was literally like you're sitting there going, wait a minute, this is one guy doing all those voices.
That's awesome.
He's
That's
funny.
Very, very cool. So what's your pick for this month?
Have you
not done it yet?
I have. Well, mine's coming up this week. We're doing, have you seen The Strange Calls? It's a TV series. It was from ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Company.
Okay.
Came out a couple of years ago, and it's on Hulu. You can
see it. Yeah, I hadn't heard of it until you mentioned
it.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. It's only 6 episodes. It was written and directed by a guy named Daly Pearson, who I think is like massively talented and not
I know that name for some reason. Did he do like Farscape episodes, like direct?
You know, he may have. I'm not sure if he has a background in that or not.
So.
I know he started doing some. He has some like some YouTube stuff, like shows.
Maybe that's where I know him from. So.
Might be. He's just fantastic, and like his show, why it's not hugely popular, I don't know. So I thought I would like
kind
of proselytize a little bit.
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
Is
and
it
it's,
on any of the other?
I don't know if it's on any other services.
Check
I know,
Amazon.
But yeah,
yeah,
it might be on Amazon. But it's 6 episodes, and each one's under 30 minutes.
Oh wow!
This will be my next one. Then I'm into the 4th season of Highlander.
Oh yeah,
because it's all on Hulu now.
Is it?
And so I've been busting through that for the last 2 weeks.
Had you watched it when it was?
Oh,
on
Oh yeah,
before?
I watched it. Yeah. Like, I mean, it was. I was like,
he sent me a message and said, "I'm watching Highlander." I said, "I own Highlander."
Like, no, the series.
I'm like,
and you're like,
I've
yes,
seen all the
series.
Special features. Okay.
I remember watching it,
well,
whatever
it
was, USA
like,
or whatever
it
was.
It
I
was
watched
on.
It when it was on.
But
yeah.
Like you're watching it now, or are you like going, I didn't remember this person was on there. And
I have Like the guy that played Callus, who was the villain at the end of season 3, yeah. He's on Downton Abbey.
Yeah, he's on Downton Abbey.
We were watching that.
Yeah, I got like, him turned on to Downton Abbey. And
I got hooked on that, too.
The wifetron more than me. So it's like Supergirl with a kid bot. I kind of come and go. I don't actually sit down and watch the entire thing.
I've only seen like the first season.
He's the doctor.
Oh,
and he played Callus, the one who was the opera singer. He had the like that Connor. Yeah,
he was gonna
Duncan damaged his throat at one point, so he had that raspy voice.
And he was he was trying to release all the like Watchers and immortals names out to like the press.
Well, yeah, that takes me back, man. We used to watch that. Me and a friend,
like Jason Isaacs, Barry Pepper, was like one of the bad guy immortals and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's like people on there where you're like. They started out on this show, but it's like Baywatch. It's like if you go back and watch old episodes of Baywatch, there's people that pop up and you're like,
Rowdy Roddy Piper was on an episode. I didn't remember him being on it. Of Highlander.
Mark Singer was on an episode of Highlander.
Was he playing the Beastmaster?
No. He played an immortal.
he was like a hill person immortal. Yeah. And his voice was like, he was like, It was like Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade. That's what his voice sounded like. It was like pre Sling Blade, too.
Oh, that's great.
He's awesome. Beastmaster.
So yeah, but he had an axe instead of a sword. But then
That's right.
So. Well, I always thought that was funny on that show because they always did kind of mix it up, the weapons, or like, what are we gonna do?
Well,
this
my thing was is like they get to see like, you know, everyone knows the Highlander, right? And they know he's like not to be messed with. Why haven't they all adopted the katana?
Yeah,
you know,
or why haven't they teamed up and been like, we'll kill him and then we can just all fight it out.
Well, didn't that happen? Well, it was in the one movie. It was the Highlander Endgame, which had Edge in it, the WWE Superstar Edge. But no, it's like the rules aren't allowed to do that. Like, they can't fight on holy ground. And I was like, why can't they fight on holy ground?
What happens if you break the rules?
Well, okay, so I was on the Highlander Wiki, and this is totally off topic.
I love this.
So, but I got on the Highlander Wiki, and the only time two immortals fought on holy ground was when Pompeii. Like so the volcano. Okay. So it's like okay. So when they do that, like a natural disaster happens.
Bullshit. So, I'm like, come on.
It's like way to retcon a disaster.
I was about to say all those the TV series.
Every disaster that happened in this world is because two Highlanders fought on or two immortals fought on holy ground.
Oh, the continuity between the movies and the TV show. Yeah. It's just
there
all,
is none.
Like they pretend like
there's no continuity between any of the movies.
They pretend like the second movie never happened.
Yeah. You know? Although in a way I love that. Like I know a lot of people hate that movie, but I had so
all the
much fun
one,
with that
but
movie.
The aliens and and Sean Connery somehow came back.
Michael aren't there two Ironside? Versions of it too?
Yeah. Well, there's like three because there's the theatrical version, there's the director's cut, which cut out all the alien stuff, and then there's the renegade version, which puts some of it back in.
Yeah. just enough alien spice.
I seen the theater with the alien version with the alien, and I went. What is this?
Yeah, I saw it. And then it blew me away.
Sci-fi channel.
Literally.
I was like, what did they do?
Wait a minute. This first movie, they were aliens?
And then Sci-fi channel just killed it with this. They did a like made-for-TV movie called The Source, which was supposed to be the first of a trilogy.
Really?
And it was so bad. They're like, they just kind of like, we're like, nope. We're wiping our hands of this crap.
Yeah, that one was like, they literally brought back everybody from the show that has survived. So it had Joe, the guy who was the Watcher.
Wow, yeah, it's been so
and
long.
And Mythos,
yeah, the like oldest immortal. And like Joe gets killed at a certain point. And I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Like really, really early on,
he's
too.
Like mortal, but I'm like, no, you can't do that.
Just from an emotional standpoint, and don't you hate it if something like crappy comes along and they're like, you know what we're going to do? Yeah. We're going to kill off a character you love and we're going to give you a really shitty version.
And then they
of
retconned
this.
With the there can be only one.
Yeah.
Wasn't there can only be one immortal? It was there can only be one who can have a baby.
So they're changing that.
Yeah. It was like really good.
It was really bad. Yeah.
Like, I don't think anyone
like it had a superhuman immortal in it that could move faster than anything.
No, he wasn't an immortal, he was the guardian. So he was like an other world being type thing.
He was a guardian from the alien planet that they all came from.
But then when McCloud fought him at the end, he got those powers too, remember? So
it's a bargain deal. You get it all.
And the katana got broken. And he adopted these like dual like knives basically. Oh, it was so stupid. Like I remember watching it live, right? Because that was back when we had like cable and stuff like that. And I'm sitting there and you know, obviously this is in audio format, but I'm like,
Yeah, literally
like the entire time, just my head was like in my hands.
I didn't even make it through.
Shaking
it.
Back.
He told
forth.
Me about it, and I'm like, "Oh, I'll have to watch this when it comes on." I DVR'd it, and I'm watching, and I'm like, "I can't.
You feel like that's a room full of
I told him about it. I was like, "You should watch Highlander: The Source."
I eventually finished it, but I was like, it was like forcing myself to finish it because I was just like, "This is really just." Badly written.
Speaking of forcing yourself to finish something, did you finish Fanforstic?
I did.
Ugh. Wait, what's Fanforstic?
That's Fantastic Four, the last from last year.
Oh no, I didn't.
The latest one with Kate Mara,
Michael B. Jordan.
And stuff. Oh, the movie. Yeah, sorry. I was
okay. So in the it says Fantastic. So like the title, like their logos, the word Fantastic was like four in the middle.
Yeah.
So I always call it Fanforstic.
Fanforstic.
So
yeah, I didn't see the Silver Surfer one or this one. I only saw the first one they did with
Jessica Alba. Yeah.
The Jessica Alba one. I was like, this is not for me, and I never went back.
You're lucky.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
There's just some things you can never unsee.
I literally I bought it and it's been on my shelf for about a month now, and
yeah,
the other day I was just like, I'm gonna have to watch this.
The newest one?
Yeah.
You bought it sight unseen.
I bought it sight unseen, and I was like, Johnny. I'm like, oh man. I'm literally sitting there like, there's parts of it where I had told him like they cast it wrong. Because they cast Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm.
Yeah.
And they cast Miles Teller as Mr. Fantastic and
Jamie Bell is the thing. And Jamie Bell, if you don't recognize that name.
Jumper?
Did you see Jumper?
No, but I know the face.
He was like the little English kid in Jumper who was like hoarding like nuclear weapons.
He was
stuff.
In King Kong. He was in Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Yeah.
He was the photographer on the boat with you know, everybody.
But anyway, so
but like
he's
I
like,
literally said that he should have been Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I said that Miles Teller should have played Johnny Storm because he's kind of got that sarcastic attitude.
Yeah.
And I said Michael B. Jordan should have played the Thing just because he seems like he would be more the badass.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I really was right. Like, I'm sitting there going, I was really
right. I told you, too, like, everyone should have taken one step over and Kate Mara should have played Doom. You know, just
so which is better, the Roger Corman Fantastic Four?
People have said that one is better than I remember watching
that
one.
My ranking of them is, you know, and now that I've seen this one, it's the bottom.
Yeah,
it's the bottom, and then it's Roger Corman's. Then it's the first one with Jessica Alba, and then the Silver Surfer.
So the Silver Surfer's
the
best one.
The Silver Surfer one, I just liked the idea of the Silver Surfer, and it was Doug Jones playing him with Lawrence Fishburne playing the voice.
You know, other than...
it was awesome. But
other than Galactus.
Galactus sucked.
And being a Parallax-type
cloud.
There's
two things they have not been able to
get
right in these movies. Doctor Doom and Galactus.
And they shouldn't do either one of them in the movies.
If they do another Fantastic Four, I want to see the Mole Men.
You know what's funny is, like, Fantastic Four is one of those, when I was a kid, I didn't read it.
Yeah.
And the only reason that, and I had seen the movie before I really had read much of it.
Oh, wow.
Which is, I know, weird, because I know that's, like, the classic Marvel series.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I grew up on Spider-Man and Daredevil. Mm-hmm. That was were, like, my two go-tos.
Two characters who have a huge history, like, of interacting with the Fantastic Four as
and
well.
The only way I knew the Fantastic Four usually was when they'd cross
over. Yeah, you literally would see them in Spider-Man's book. Or...
And so when I saw the first Fantastic Four movie, it was a bad ambassador for that series because...
What a horrible first introduction to the first family of comics.
It was. When I met my friend Jason Cretton, who also writes for the magazine and does Horror Hound Radio, he has Fantastic Four tattoos.
Well, yeah,
he's hardcore into that. I was like,
He's like cutting his skin off with a knife right now. He's like, oh god,
dude. The 60s stuff with Fantastic Four is some of the like coolest stuff because the monsters, in that book. And I mean, Jack Kirby,
it was a true sci-fi book.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, like as far as a superhero book can be science fiction.
Yeah,
it was a true
Marvel in the 60s had that had it down where it was like FF was a science book and Avengers was an action adventure book and Spider-Man was like the perfect mix of both, and you know, but yeah, there's like Marvel Unlimited has the
so that's a perfect segue. So you have more. We've talked about digital comics on here in the past. I'm a big fan of them. I'm about 50-50.
I
buy the Marvel hard copy books.
Yeah.
Just for the, I mean, not just for the digital codes, but like, so I have the digital codes as well. And then I end up taking the code out, reading it.
Yeah,
you know, putting the book.
That's
bag
what
and
I
board,
do.
So.
I actually don't read the paper. There's certain comics I collect really strictly. Mm-hmm. It's been since they got the licensing back for Star Wars. I've collected Marvel Star Wars,
which we love. We're
it's
huge
fantastic,
fans of that.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's so yeah. good. And like, I'm collecting it.
Like Darth Vader was my top book of 2015.
Oh, so good. And do you also read Kanan?
I haven't read Kanan.
I need to catch up.
It's the Dark Horse
yeah.
surprise. Like, I didn't. I got it because I was kind of feeling like a completist.
Did you watch
at
Rebels
the time.
Or?
I've seen the first season.
Okay. So I didn't yeah. get Kanan because I hadn't started watching Rebels. I just started watching Rebels, and I didn't want to get like screwed up by anything.
Well, you
because I wasn't
sure.
It's a sure.
good introduction.
And
to
so
it.
Now it's like yeah. great. Well, now that I'm completely. Which last night's episode of Rebels was fantastic.
Oh, you're caught up. Like, you're in
yeah,
season
I'm
two.
Yeah, I'm all
the
way through. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm caught up to the point where I watched last week's because I work on Wednesday night,
gotcha.
So I don't get to watch.
See, I was going
to
probably marathon
Elva,
that second
Elva watches
season.
It with
yeah.
me because,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
she's a fan, too.
So, the like, Disney has yeah. the XD app. Like, we don't have cable, so we just use the Apple TV for everything.
Yeah,
and so we have
here.
The Disney
yep.
XD app, and they have the entire second season. And, last night, for some reason, at like 8:30, it was already on the app.
Wow!
So I watched it.
Huh. That's know. Awesome.
Yeah, that series was a surprise because I was not a big fan of Clone Wars, and I felt like just because it was just
get
not
out.
Very exciting.
Just go.
Well, it was missing for me at least. It was missing the high adventure that I expected from like Star Wars. It was.
Did you watch all of Clone Wars?
I'm going to go back
oh,
and give
yeah,
it another
yeah.
shot because I've heard good things about
so,
it. Later,
go listen
so.
To our episode and then watch the episodes that we
the,
recommend.
The first yeah, the first season and a half of Clone Wars for me is rough.
Yeah, that's exactly you know? Where I gave up.
And right around
the second season is where it picked up because that year was
about
the
like,
Rise of the Bounty Hunters.
Yeah.
And it literally was like stories with just bounty hunters popping up and getting involved in the Clone War.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
That.
Yeah. I
yeah.
can get it.
Yeah.
There was a bounty hunter they introduced called Cad Bane that literally was like, who was he supposed to be a mix of?
A Cadbury egg and Bane from Batman?
No, not at all.
Exactly. I'm full of something that might be caramel and might be egg yolk.
You are born in the light side of the Force. I am born in neither.
Cadbury Bane.
Cadbury Bane. He was,
that's
what's
all
his name?
Be able to think about now.
it's literally stuck in my head now. I'm like thinking of him with a Cadbury egg head.
Or it could just be his mask is made of that Cadbury foil.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That would be awesome, actually.
Or if you crack him open, he leaks
he was,
that nasty upper cream.
Yeah,
like,
I can't eat those.
He literally wore a hat like a cowboy. And he was based off of...
Lone Star?
No, the guy... the
he had a robot Lone horse Star. That walked around on two legs.
Oh, now you're talking Brave Star.
Or Brave Star, not Lone
exactly.
Star. Brave Star. Sorry.
Well, he was...
Yeah.
Remember in the cantina scene, there was the one guy that had like a weird shaped face and they had red eyes?
Yeah.
He was
one, oh,
of,
was
them.
One of them. Yeah.
And he was based off of... the guy from Good and the Bad and the Ugly that was the bad. I
yeah.
can't remember the actor's name.
Van Cleef?
Van Cleef, yeah.
Yeah.
So his character was Lee Van Cleef.
That's awesome.
But he was an alien and he had this like modulated voice because he had these things on the side of his face that made his voice sound like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his voice
just,
is awesome.
He would just
it's
show
like
up
iconic,
and you
yeah.
would see him and you'd be like, oh, shit. It's like something bad's about to happen.
Well, did you get far enough, and you might not remember this, into Clone Wars where they introduced Hondo?
He was
like a
bounty
smuggler,
hunter.
Bounty hunter type
yeah.
guy. He had his own little crime syndicate.
Yeah.
Well, he's been on Rebels.
The character's name sounds familiar. Like, I think he turned up.
He's been on like three or four episodes of Rebels now. He was on last night's episode.
Yeah.
And like anytime Hondo shows up, it's great. And in one of the episodes of Rebels where he showed up and he figured out Ezra is a Jedi, he's like, oh, I had a Jedi friend once.
Yeah.
At least I think he was my friend.
It was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
So it was like really,
and
it was just
the cool
it was
thing
a
about
fun
him
callback.
Is the guy who plays the voice of Hondo plays the voice of Tigger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jim Cummings.
Yeah.
So he like plays all these like, you know, happy characters, and then he plays this goofy bounty hunter that's like the comedic relief on episodes.
I would love them to just use Piglet.
Yeah.
Piglet's voice for somebody.
Winnie the Pooh for everything.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Bother.
Yeah, song? you should definitely check out Clone Wars, though.
But,
I mean, Rebels, the quality has gone up a lot from the first season.
Well, first season, yeah. It was like really introducing this whole new cast of characters.
Yeah. And this year they're just introducing all the bad guys.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
But at the same time, like, it seems like every week, like, something happens that's pushing us further and further. And it's really the birth of the rebellion.
Yeah. That's such a cool...
It's a cool time that we don't ever really get to see. Like, Leia was a character who was on when it came back.
Oh,
yeah. From hiatus
and everything. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had clones show up that survived that weren't...
Captain
Rex. Order 66.
Yeah, you know, they're killing it with this continuity on this... Yeah. The new canon that they're... Whoever that team that manages that story unbelievable.
I think that's my favorite thing Disney's has done. Because it's not just, I mean, like even the like, you know, just to get back to the comics, the Star Wars comics that are in the era that we're really familiar of are all still
like they're
well
it
within,
into the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, like Vader down.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
that's been a great,
you understand why they
Did
were terrified of
yeah.
Vader
yeah.
in Empire.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they've seen some stuff after, like, you know, the whole thing after Star Wars. It's like, you're like, why were they so scared of Vader? And
like,
it's like, now you're like, oh, that's why?
Yeah. Like, when he shows up on Cloud City, you get why Han's immediate reaction is to just start shooting. Like, and not even because, oh, Han shoots first, because Han shoots first. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about
that.
But you see it,
Get your shot off, because that's probably the only shot you're going to get off.
They did a good job of making him scary again. You're right, because like, as much damage as the prequels did to that character.
I really hope they put him in Rogue One, because that's when he's at the height of...
Yeah,
but I mean, like, as the villain, not just like a cameo, but like show him, because like that first book of Vader Down, right?
Yes.
When he's flying his tie into the middle of the X-Wings, and they're like, ha, who's this Rube flying into, like, attacking us? And he's using the Force to, like, redirect missiles and, you know, just flying right through, just...
Not to mention, like, you get the beginnings of him being a maverick and not necessarily always going along with what the Empire wants.
Oh, yeah. Literally, that scene where he finds out that Luke is alive, that Luke's his son, and, like, he's in that room, and the room just starts to crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the window shatters, but it doesn't break out, and it's like, is he holding the window into place, or is he just... not caring at this point.
Yeah, I think he's just barely controlling himself.
Oh, man. I was just like, and it's, you know, even though the prequels were not as good as they should have been, it's like, you still are going after seeing Revenge of the Sith, and then you see this Vader, you're like, oh, yeah, that's Anakin for sure.
Yeah.
Because he was really angry, and it's like, you know, he's still angry.
Yeah, all the rage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would kill to see the, is it Topher Grace that did the edit?
Yeah, I've talked to you about that.
Yeah, you've
told
me about that.
So it's 85 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's all, basically 85 minutes for the first, like, not the first trilogy, but episodes 1 through 3.
Yeah.
So, but, I have the Laserdisc rips.
Yeah.
Of the original trilogy. So the version of Star Wars that we have that we watch in our house.
Yeah.
It's all high def. But it's Star Wars. It doesn't say Episode 4 in there.
Yeah.
It's got none of the extra
stuff.
The
original cut.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So like, my daughter had seen, you know, Star Wars at someone else's house, and she was like, what's this extra stuff?
Yeah.
And
what did she think of the
stuff?
Does she
prefer
these?
Diehard. No, she's a purist, you know?
I love it.
So, like, she was as excited as Johnny and I were to go see The Force Awakens.
That's great.
So she was pissed that I was pissed at her, because I tried to get her to skip school to go with me on the Friday morning when we went to see it, and she's like, I don't want to miss school, it's my Christmas party. I'm like, it's Star Wars.
Wait a minute,
who cares about a Christmas party? So
not that it makes a huge difference for anybody. You probably had this conversation about how the versions of the special editions are not they're not Academy Award winning films, because they've cut out everything they won an award for.
Yeah. Right.
Like all the digital effects cut out a lot of the original effects. Yeah.
So it's like all the work that they won those awards for, they can't claim that they're an Academy Award winning film anymore.
Right.
And hopefully Disney at some point will go, we're going to release the original.
Well, there was that thing where Lucas said he destroyed the negatives.
Yeah, sure.
But now they're saying that might not be true.
Well, and it's one of those things where there's Laserdisc, you could just, you know, transfer it over.
I mean, and Laserdisc was pure digital, you know, the
highest quality you could get.
35 millimeter, you know, I mean, because 35 millimeter by definition.
Why would
we're getting super film. But 35 millimeter by definition is high def.
Right.
And know, anything above that, like, the eye can't really differentiate. Like, we know it's awesome at, you know, 70 frames per second, but
But yeah, I wouldn't get the idea of burning your own negatives. That's like burning your kid or something.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird.
Just throw the kid in the fire.
I think it was a case of leave me the hell alone.
Yeah.
More than anything else. I don't know. He's like, this is my stuff.
I think that's literally why he probably sold it to Disney. It's just because he wanted to be left alone.
Yeah.
At that point. And it's like, you couldn't have sold it to a better place to
take care of
it. I mean, you
know. As a doubters, as a steward for it. Okay, so the Star Wars comics.
Yes.
We'll sit here and we'll talk about Star Wars all day.
Okay.
So, I mean, what else are you reading on Marvel Unlimited? Because just for the people who don't know what it is,
right?
It's $9.99 a month, right?
Well, I bought the year because it's a lot cheaper if you buy an annual subscription. Okay. You get it for $60, I think.
Oh, wow.
So it's a big savings. And if you know you love Marvel Comics and you have a device to read them on, it's really the best deal out there.
So what do you read them on?
I read them mostly, I'll either read them on my, I have an iPhone 6 Plus, which is really great because it has the bigger screen. Mm-hmm. It's nice. Or I'll read them on my MacBook.
Yep.
And I use the smart panels because I think they program those like expertly.
So is it like the Comixology app with the guided view thank you.
It's the same exact tech. They actually built it on the Comixology technology is my understanding that they share the same, it's like the same software. So if you've used Comixology, it's the same.
Because I read most of my comics at this point on my iPad.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect device for it.
Yeah, I want one of those so badly.
No, I mean, I have the 5S. My next phone is the Plus.
To this?
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, yeah. For Freddie's
birthday.
I got the iPhone Plus was as far as I could push it. And but the... I love it, and it's interesting to me that you said you use the codes too from the hard print editions. Like they use a different app for Marvel.com to read your digital. Really?
Yeah, so there's the Marvel app,
which
is tied into Comixology, and you can either tie it into Comixology where you can use just the Comixology app.
Yeah,
but if you're an iOS user, that's not like a good way to do it anymore because you can't like buy comics through the Comixology app. You have to do it through the Marvel app. So what I'll do is I'll read it and like, so say I'm reading, they have sales, right?
Yeah.
So they had a thing where it was like the Cable Messiah with Hope and everything. That series, like the first six issues were 99 cents and I bought all six of them and I really enjoyed them. And as I went through them, I was like, oh, I'll just keep buying. And I was paying, you know, the $1.99. until I had them all.
Wow.
But then it shows you like the, like when it crosses over to another issue, it'll tell you like where to go. So like I have the entire story with, you know, the added issues from crossovers. So that's why I like it.
Yeah. And you're talking about not
Marvel.
Unlimited.
Yeah. I'm not talking, Marvel. I'm just talking about just the Comixology style.
Yeah. Which is nice. It's very similar.
Yeah.
I mean, I would almost say that one's a clone of the other software, but it's different enough that you'll notice, like, if you bounce back and forth between them.
Oh, you definitely, like, there's going to be that little, like, oh, yeah, there's the difference.
Yeah, like, there's a slight difference between the two of them.
So do you find books, like, older books on Unlimited, they're like, oh, I need to go buy this?
You know what? I don't, because I love the digital movement and the idea of having everything I want in my pocket.
Yep, I agree. I'm right there with you.
But I also have a long box full of Star Wars comics because I also have that connection to my childhood. Yeah. So like I had to curb it.
Just kind of reach behind you there and like pull that curtain back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah. I mean, and Johnny's is worse. And then
I'm looking at a lot of long boxes stacked up in a closet. Yeah. So don't you know. Don't give out the code to your home security system.
Mine's a room full of boxes, so
yeah.
I've been inputting everything on. There's a website called Comic Book Database.
Yeah,
where you can input all your comic.
What are you up to? Like 15,000?
It's 13 and a half now.
You need to get Jason out here at some point. You guys can talk because he has a big basement and it's nothing but it's like a comic book store and. It's I sold all the stuff I had as a kid that I collected. At one day I sold it all. I was like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna collect comic books anymore. And then obviously I regret it.
Well, sure you do.
I had way more than that. And when I was in high school, I went away for a weekend. It was not like I was going away. I went away for a weekend. I came back and like my parents had gotten rid of all my comics, all my Star Wars stuff, all my Joes. And I'm like,
They got rid of them?
Yeah. I was like, I was gone for to where? 40 hours.
Like, they were they gone just, permanently?
They gave them away to people. Yeah. They sold some of them.
You still talk to them?
No.
They're allowed to see you?
No.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth.
They've never seen my daughter.
So, is that why?
No, I mean,
it's more complex.
It's more complex than that, but like, that's enough.
I like to boil it down to just that, though, because I think that's enough.
That's enough of a reason.
I'm the reverse, where like everything I had as a kid, I still have.
They still have all his teeth, all his hair from haircuts.
No, not that. Not the scary.
Every stool sample he's ever given.
Every Star Wars figure, every Star Wars ship that didn't get anything that didn't get broke.
Yeah,
I still have it.
So, and our mutual friend Rob is also that way, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Rob,
or did he go and recollect all that
stuff? Rob like had a collection that was dumb luck collection.
Yeah,
but he still has like all his from when he was a kid.
Yeah.
So he sold the Dumb Luck collection and got money for it, you know, the decent amount of money. But he still has all his figures and he's still trying to complete, like, the whole line.
I'm
missing five figures and there are five damn hardest figures to get.
And they're all the Kenner stuff.
Oh, it's all the Kenner stuff, yeah. I have some of the Hasbro, like, you know, Hasbro now produces, like, I don't know if you've seen the Black Series.
Those are awesome,
Yeah, but, like, they still do decent figures and I guess because I was so infused by The Force Awakens, I bought almost every 3¾-inch figure they did. Because I was looking at it, I'm like, those figures look good. They look like the original figures, and it doesn't look like the prequel mess figures.
Yeah.
Because Hasbro, at the time that they did the prequel figures, I think that whoever was the designers in that weren't doing a really good job.
They're phoning it in.
The only good prequel figures were the Stormtroopers.
Yeah, the clones.
Or the Clone Troopers,
I mean, once, like, Clone Wars had started, I guess whoever they got to design those, I have pretty much the whole Clone Wars collection, like, of figures, because they looked like the characters from the cartoon and they looked good. So it didn't look like somebody was phoning it in. It looked like they actually were caring about what they were producing.
Did you feel so you broke your compulsion to buy them? So you can break that completist thing in yourself. Where, like,
it's literally one of those things where, you know, you run out of space. As a collector,
I'm by far not a completionist anymore. I just buy the few characters
I love. See his room, and it's like I told you, it looks like at my house, because we're both collectors of stuff, it looks like a Disney store, a toy store, and a bookstore, like, literally wrecked over my house, and it just all fell into my house.
Yeah, like a Lego store threw up on my bookshelves.
And then there's the Lego problem, too.
It's just a lot of fun. It's a fun room. You know, I came in here, and I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I don't have it in me, like, to do it, because, like, there's part of me that's like, I had to make a psychological decision where I'm like, I'm only going to care about the stories, and I'm going to let go of having all this physical stuff. Because
I keep saying that, but then, like, a new Lego set from Star Wars or Marvel comes out, and I'm like,
they're so cool.
The thing with the Lego sets, like, I got him turned on to it. At one point, I was buying, like, everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, something's wrong with me. I'm like, literally, like, I'm standing there looking at a stack of Legos, and I'm going, there's something wrong with me. And I went, I'm just buying superheroes at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I literally cut it off, and I'm only buying superheroes, and I said I will allow myself to buy a Star Wars set if I think I really like it and I want it.
It's like a drug addiction.
Force Awakens Star Wars sets, I think I only bought two.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wanted one because they had the Snowtroopers in it and I like the Snowtrooper design. And then the other one I bought because it was like $20, and I'm like, I allow myself to buy a $20 set. Like,
yeah, so like when I got into the Lego stuff, he got me the Shield Helicarrier, like, escape one, because I love the Hulk. And so it was the Hulk big fig, and I was like, yes, this is awesome. And I had a blast building it, and I had been over at his house and I'd seen the Daily Bugle up there, and I was like, well, it's got Nova in it and Spider-Man. This is a must have.
And you're like, J. Jonah Jameson, I think I need this set.
So that was my second set. And then I got the rest of that line of the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, and then I started getting the DC stuff, and I was like, I'm not going to get the Star Wars stuff. Like, it's just, like, you know, they're a little more expensive. It's just a it's a bridge I don't want to cross. And
I'm staring at the Falcon over there.
I have
the ghost from Rebels is up there.
I have all the Rebel sets. Yeah. I have all the Force Awakens sets except for Kylo Ren's giant ship from the first line. Yeah, like I have the original Y-wing that Johnny found for me. I have both versions of the X-wing. I have the B-wing, the A-wing. You know, it's just like I kind of like, I don't know, I just love so much that, you know.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like reading comic books. It's relaxing.
Oh, the actual act of putting them together is great.
It's very relaxing, but it's like once you do it, you're like, oh, shit.
I get sad.
That was $150.
It's like I build them. He always like I'll like I don't build them.
Let's
necessarily
not talk about the $150
all at once. But so like I got the Millennium Falcon. It probably sat in this office for a month and a half before.
Which
like
is
I built it.
That any Lego sets ever sat in this house? Because literally we've gone to the Lego store before. I'll drop him off, or he'll drop me off, and I'll go home. And I'll be at home, and I'll be like putting stuff away or doing something. And
it's like
all of a sudden
I
get a text,
later.
And I'll look at the picture. And I'll be like, "Son of a bitch, that's like a 400-piece set. You just built it in a half hour."
Like the Millennium Falcon, there is like what 1,300 pieces.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe an hour.
So are you like, jigsaw puzzle people?
Yeah,
well?
I am. I love
my wife is, and I sit down to do a jigsaw puzzle, and like three pieces in, I'm like banging them. Like,
I blame my mom for
away.
That.
I built models as a kid. You know, it's just one of those things where like they're models.
There's a storage unit at home that's full of like Star Trek models.
Yeah,
that I built, and I'm just like, you know, it's just.
So okay, so we've got the
we've totally gone off the
rails. But that's how it goes when we have a guest. So
let me ask you on the Marvel app, the Disney comics are on there too.
Finally,
yeah,
it had been where they weren't on there and they just added Figment.
Okay.
The first one, which I've heard is great.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
You've read Big Thunder Mountain.
I read some of Big Thunder, and then I got to the point with that one where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to follow this or not. I'm going to go back since I can read
it for
free.
Were you buying a hard copy?
Now. I was buying it.
Okay.
And that's because I'm a huge Disney fan.
Well, right, yeah.
Which
I
we have in
common. All,
you too.
Yeah,
we're all Disney guys. All right. And
we went to Disneyland for our honeymoon. And it was the 50th anniversary.
Oh, was it the diamond thing they did?
That was last year
for the 60th. But
that's
so
right.
They had these like special like 50th anniversary like mouse ear things like hidden all over the park, and I'm pretty sure I got all 50 of them, pictures of all 50 of them. So
that's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been to World a few. I didn't experience Disney until I was in my 30s, and then I was hooked.
My honeymoon was the first time
was the first time
did
for you.
Anything.
Really?
So, yeah.
See, like I remember going as a kid.
Yeah.
I went to Disney World when I was maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And then I went to Epcot when I was like 9. Like Epcot had only been open for a year. Literally was only open for a year. And I'm like, I tell people, I remember walking through there and Norway hadn't been built yet. It was just a sign saying Norway coming soon.
Does it break your heart that the Maelstrom's gone?
I wasn't like that much of attached to it. But I'm like, you know, now Frozen's not as popular as it was. So I'm like, oh, we'll see, you know.
I'll tell you my problem with Epcot.
Okay.
There's England, there's Scotland, and there's Northern Ireland. It's all the same country, essentially.
Well, no, it's all
they're
just,
all crammed together
England.
In there. Yeah.
No, but there's no Ireland proper.
Well, right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they just cram it in. With
it's
England.
It's New England, Northern Ireland.
Right. Well,
I see what you're saying.
So,
So,
as someone of Irish Catholic descent.
Yeah,
I'm very offended by the fact. and you know, like, I don't. I prefer Disneyland to Disney World.
I've heard that from a few people.
Like to be honest with you, if I never go back to Orlando,
really,
I'm okay with that. Oh, and if I do go back to Orlando, I want to go to
the
Harry Potter World.
Guys been?
God, at this point, like twice, 6 or 7, maybe. We bought annual passes now every year.
Oh, cool.
So we're addicted.
I mean, the beauty of Disneyland, right?
Yeah,
is. It's basically this rectangle in Anaheim. Like, you know, I mean, it's a 60-acre rectangle, but it's lined with hotels on the outside. So you don't have to stay at the park. And we usually stay, like, around, like, the Howard Johnson or at the Howard Johnson. And it's a 5-minute walk to the gate.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
And so when you do the park hopper with the early entry stuff, you can't beat it.
But you wouldn't miss Epcot if you
no, I would,
because I'd love to drink and eat around the world.
I don't drink, so it's not that big of a deal.
So
but I mean, I like to eat.
I'll eat around the world. I don't drink either, but I'll eat around the world.
But I thought the people who worked at Disney World were way more ruder. Yeah. I'm not sure which is fine. The right way to say that. Then
that's your podcast. Say what you want to say.
Then the very then the nice, lovely people in California.
Yeah, like, I can't speak to that. I have to get out to California. So, I'm dying to do it.
Yeah, we took the kid bot there for her fifth birthday.
Yeah.
And I mean, the first day she just didn't even know how to deal with it. You know, because it was so overwhelming. it probably took like 3 days into the trip before she started having fun.
That's so cute.
Like starts crying just because.
That's the only time. Yeah, the only time I want children is when I'm at Disney. And I'm like, look how happy that kid is. We can make a kid that happy.
And then there's the rest
of the time.
No, there's so much crying that happens at that place.
Yeah,
so
true.
When we went to Disney World, we were in line. I forget which ride it was, but we, you know how you snake through the like turnstiles and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we got by this kid, he would like punch my wife in the butt.
That drives me nuts.
And so after the third time, she had the backpack on. I was like, here, just take the one shoulder strap off. He didn't again. I just lifted the backpack up and let it go. And it's a backpack full of books just right in the side of the head. It's like, screw you, dude.
Yeah, at that point.
And we just lost the listener.
Some person that likes children.
He's like, I remember that.
Oh, it was them.
It was that one kid. He's like, oh, wait, that was he still has nightmares about the green JanSport backpack coming at him.
I love Disney World. So, I mean,
it's the happiest place on earth.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land are gonna be.
Yeah. No, I mean like all the Star Wars stuff that's being added to both parks. Like, what is it? What's the ride? Star Tours.
Yeah.
Okay. So funny story with Star Tours in Disneyland. We went on it. It was awesome. There was nobody in line. We went on it again. Had the exact same thing, which is.
It's really
almost mathematically impossible.
Yeah.
And when I got off, I had mentioned to the cast member, I was like, hey, I thought this was supposed to be different every time. We literally had the exact same thing. And she goes, are you kidding? It's the first time I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
And then we went.
How many combinations? I can't even remember like how many variations.
There's like 700 variations.
Well, I haven't seen Jakku to it now. So, you know, now you're flying through Jakku.
But, yeah. I mean, but it was awesome. I mean, the new stuff. I mean, even the old stuff is fun. But like the new stuff is awesome. But when we went the second time or the third time, it was different. So it was pretty cool.
My wife really gets sick on that.
Oh, Elva. Yeah. The first time we went, like it was that old track of it. And Elva, like when we got out. It's the only time we had to stop. Because there's those benches right outside the doors, and she literally had to sit down. I'm like, isn't
it
amazing? Okay?
It looks so tame.
Yeah.
And then, but some people like
well, that gimbal in
like,
there. I'm like,
Andy's the same way. Andy and Amy are sitting next to each other on Star Tours, and I look over, and they're both green. And their lips are hanging down in front of their faces, and they look like they're about to start drooling.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was like, this is
just grab the bag.
Yeah.
So, are there other digital comics you read?
Yeah. Well,
besides Marvel.
I've Hoopla. Have you seen this new app that works with a public library?
No.
You have access to a ton of free digital comic content.
Huh? Interesting.
And it's Hoopla. It's awesome. Cool. You get Dark Horse on there, Image. All the old, I like Charles Schulz old stuff.
Yeah.
So most of the digital I buy are actually from Image.
Yeah. So you would love this. Well, they have a bunch of Image stuff on there. But I spend most of my time right now reading Unlimited because I keep trying to catch up with the current story.
Don't ever
lines.
Try and catch up.
I know, it's silly. But when I read the new, I know this is old news for you guys, but that Hawkeye run that Matt Fraction blew me away.
Yeah.
It was like the thing that really made me feel like this was money well spent.
Yeah.
Because I loved it. I mean, I'd go back and reread it now. I thought it was one of the best comics I've ever read. And the fact that it's in Unlimited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, speaking of Hawkeye, I saw an awesome meme on Facebook today.
Yeah.
It's like Cap Shield is made of vibranium.
Yeah.
Hawkeye's is made of Quicksilver.
Nice.
I should get that, but I don't.
Have you seen Age of Ultron?
Yes.
You know how Quicksilver takes the bullets for him at the end?
Oh.
Shield is made of Quicksilver.
That's a shield.
Now I get it. Right there. I'm not doing so
I guess it's not that funny if I have to keep explaining it to people.
Yeah,
so, but I just, I like.
Okay, I got it, but I'm just like, oh.
Yeah, so no, like, so the Image app is, like, run by Comixology, the DC app. The IDW app used to be run by Comixology, and now it's run by Madefire. Are you familiar with them?
No.
They do the motion comics. They're really cool.
Yeah.
But it's run by IDW, and now it's just a horror, like, just the user experience on the app is awful. Yeah. Like, I hate it. And then the Dark Horse one was great for a while, and then they made some changes, but now you can buy all the Dark Horse stuff on Comixology, so that makes it good.
I would love for them to get to this point with other publishers. The whole unlimited concept is what drew me to Marvel,
because
it makes me take chances on stuff that I wouldn't otherwise read.
Right, yeah.
And
you're talking like older stuff.
Old stuff, yeah, I mean, any random, the Hawkeye anything. Stuff's been around for like a while, I've read the Ghost Rider run that has Alejandra in it.
Yeah,
and I would never have probably picked
with
that
the car,
up.
Car with the race car.
No, there's not Ghost Racers, but the one where it's only like 9 issues.
Oh, okay.
And it's this girl in like Venezuela, and she's raised in this temple with all these other potential Ghost Riders, and and she's being raised by Adam from the Bible, and he's a villain. And and I would never would have read it just because, well, one,
well, he is the villain because he's a man.
That's right, he's a man. He's just awful.
That's right, ladies, gotcha.
And but he is awful. And and it's cool because this Johnny Blaze has been curse has been lifted, and now it's passed on to her. But it takes a few issues to get going, but once it gets going, it has a lot of interesting angles on the storytelling. And then I don't know if they just put the kibosh on it because it didn't start incredibly strong, or if they only planned 9 issues, but that's something I never would have known even existed.
It's still the whole idea of, I think, regular hard copy sales are what will kill a book, even if it's like doing well digitally. Well, the hard copy is where it gets killed, because I mean, you know, they just announced
it's like TV.
Like 4 or 5 of the Marvel titles that have happened after Secret Wars are going to be gone.
Well, I think we're going to see a big change in
New Grill and Devil Dinosaurs on the bubble.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
really?
And it's like, that sucks.
Everybody seems to love that.
It's three, really issues, it's 3 issues in. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the more inventive stories that they've had in a while.
Well, and it's accessible to kids.
And
I mean, it's one of the
unfortunately,
where
it's getting lost in this whole Inhumans mess with them doing away with mutants.
Yeah. So they're doing that in the comics too?
Oh yeah.
So this is all driven by the licensing issue with the mutants belonging to Sony or Fox?
Fox. Fox has the mutants. Fox has mutants, Deadpool, and Fanforestic. And then Sony has Spider-Man.
Partially now.
Well, yeah. And Universal has the Hulk for a solo film, but there's weird things there. And I think Universal has Namor.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's really weird.
So their whole strategy now is mutants do not exist in the Marvel universe.
They're killing
going
them.
Forward,
they're
right?
So they're all sterile now because of the Terrigen Mist from the Inhumans that has new Inhumans popping up every issue of every book of the entire line of Marvel. And so as a mutant dies, that's it. They're not replacing. So there's no new mutants.
Gotcha.
So
there'll be no the new mutants.
Yeah.
No new mutants.
No new mutants book.
So, which, I mean, for me, I'm like,
you're more of a mutant.
I am the X-Men fan in the room. Yeah. And,
I'm the Avengers fan.
It occurred to me that I think when I was younger, I didn't get into the team superheroes. Everyone I can think of has almost been the solo.
Yeah. So for me, the only teams I've ever like really is 3 is the X-Men, Teen Titans, and the Legion of Superheroes.
I love the Teen Titans animated stuff.
Well,
which is the only thing I know about Teen. I don't read DC only because I just can't afford to do it.
There's nothing really.
Yeah, there's
that
nothing
good
worth.
Right now.
Yeah. We've railed on them for the last few weeks. So.
Yeah.
Poor DC.
Yeah, the last DC stuff. I mean, I've read a little here and there, like the first issues of New 52 and stuff like that, but nothing.
Yeah, you shouldn't have read that.
Well, I got them for free from a friend.
Oh, again, okay. There's things.
That's okay.
He sent me all the number
ones. There's things you can't unsee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Although Animal Man looked promising.
Oh,
Animal Man was great.
Animal Man and Swamp Thing were the only 2 books out of all that stuff that was good, and then they just went downhill too.
Yeah.
And then I think Animal Man got canceled. And Swamp Thing, different writer, took it a different direction, and you were just like, this
and
was
killed
the
it.
Book I was reading.
Quickly killed it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're talking about bringing that back again, but they've announced the whole rebirth thing, and nobody knows what the hell's going on now.
I do feel like if these publishers get behind this whole digital thing, and they do something like what Netflix does, where the draw is that they're taking chances on interesting series like Orange is the New Black or House of Cards. If they did that with Marvel and DC and everything, I do think like they don't have as much cost going into producing digital content.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you just pay for what it costs to make it.
Well, it's, it's the idea, and I mean, along that lines, where if you're going to introduce new characters, introduce a new book, you do it digitally, see how it does, and then if it does well enough, you ask the people, you know, would you buy this?
Right. Well, I mean, and I'll give DC credit for this, because this is the only part of digital that they've really embraced, is they have digital first or digital only series. That, you know, it's 99 cents. It comes out once a week. After four issues, they'll collect it as one printed issue. And, you know,
that's a great idea. Really.
They did a couple seasons of Smallville that way. Like, so like they did with Buffy.
Yeah.
They've done this whole, Injustice Gods and, or,
based on the game.
Based on the, I think it's just called Injustice.
Yeah.
But like the Gods and Monsters was that movie.
It seemed like a lot of people were bent out of shape over that.
And then
Superman's bad in it.
Yeah.
He's literally
kills the Joker in the first issue because the Joker killed Lois Lane. Which, you know, they had a couple great. They had a couple great Batman Beyond series that ran for a long time. That was some of the best Terry McGinnis stories ever, even including the animated show.
And
it was digital only for like longest time. So they do like the tie-ins to the TV shows with like season 2.5, 3.5, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Flash. Yeah.
I'd be real curious to see like how that worked out for them financially, like to do that, like you were saying, Johnny, like to pilot it.
Yeah.
And then they know really what they can gauge interest pretty easily.
You could gauge interest. Well, I mean,
the problem is though, is unless you go into the app every day, you don't know that that stuff is there.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's the problem.
How often do you go and look at your Netflix to see, like, to browse the collection? Or
I use a website. Every month. I use a website called Instant Watcher, and I check it, like, every couple days just to see what the new things were added.
What the new stuff is.
Yeah. And that's why I fell asleep watching Talladega Nights last night.
Whereas I fell asleep watching Too Fast, Too Furious.
How do you fall asleep to the best Fast and Furious movie?
Well, you know.
You know what's funny about those movies? I've never seen a single one of them.
The Fast and the Furious
There are 10
movies?
Of them now, right?
Yeah. Seven.
Nine or ten.
There's they've announced nine eight. Nine and ten.
Oh, okay.
So funny story. The first first Fast and Furious movie I ever saw was Too Fast, Too
Fantastic
Furious.
Fantastic.
So the second was the first one I ever saw, and then I watched Tokyo Drift, and that's like kind of what got me hooked on the series.
Yeah, is that the James Wan? Is that when he got involved?
Yeah. No. Is it Dustin?
Like four, I think.
Oh, okay.
Justin Lin.
Yeah, I think that's who
did. So then Vin Diesel showed up at the end. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Vin Diesel was in the first one. So then I, like, watched four, and then five was about to come out. I was like, you know, I should probably watch the first one of these so I kind of understand the history.
I would love to catch up on this stuff because everybody seems to really have a good time with them.
They're just fun, stupid movies.
I love
seeing the first one. it's one of those things where it's like just... Yeah. You know, straight up an action movie.
Yeah.
No thought to
But they've gone the way of Die Hard now, where they're all superheroes. And I think legitimately they all have in their contract that they're not allowed to lose fights. Because, like, Ludacris is all of a sudden a badass.
Yeah.
You know? Funny. But, no, I enjoy the hell out of them. I mean,
They're just fun, brainless movies. I mean, you don't have to.
So that's a good example of you would have not, some people, like, you wouldn't have watched that had it not just turned up, like,
I think that was one of those ones where, like, I was given a pass to go see it.
Yeah.
Like a free movie pass. And I was like, okay, I like this.
Yeah.
It's like, it was good. It's like, you know, Vin Diesel's decent enough for an action movie actor.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think, like, it's one of those things where when you're given a pass or you're giving something free and you're like, okay, I like that. I want more of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, will I pay for that? Yeah, I'll pay for that.
Yeah.
You know,
You know, the only downside to the Marvel Unlimited is, there's two things. One is you have to wait 6 months before anything hits. And some things, I think, because
like
some of the
stuff.
Licensing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, something that came out today, I won't read it for 6 months.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I have 18 months of Green Lantern sitting right down
that you haven't read yet. That's the way it is with me. Like, I have
I literally have 18 months of three different Green Lantern books just in a pile right there that I'll probably never read. I'll end up just bagging them up.
Yeah, well, there's too many. There's too much out there to read.
Well, no, it just got really, really bad.
Oh,
is it
bad? I'm the one that makes me sad. I fall into the thing where it's like I do buy books with, like, the intention of, oh, I want to read that. And then I'll let it stack up, and I'm like, oh, it's on issue 6. I probably should read
that's
it now.
That's that pile right there.
Yeah, that's that pile.
And the,
but yeah, they're like, you know, there's go-to books that you read, like, literally when they come out, and then there's books where you're like yeah, Saga. I can wait.
Like, I read Saga in the car.
I love Saga.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love Saga.
Yep.
That's some special stuff going
Walking
on right there.
Dead, Invincible, Saga.
So Walking Dead, Invincible, two examples of comics that I don't own hard copy issues of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I only ever read those
all
digital.
The Star Wars books, like, pretty much get read right off the bat.
Oh, I read
especially
yeah.
the two as soon main as I get books. To the store. It's like,
I do those. Amazing Spider-Man gets read right away.
Yeah. I've been reading that series. I can't decide, the new one. I can't decide if I like it or not.
It's Tony Stark.
That's my problem.
With spider powers.
Like, I want my cheerful high school
now, if you
Peter
want,
Parker back.
If you want, well, that's Spidey. So I don't know if Spidey's on there
yet.
I
haven't read it yet.
So
yeah,
those are the old
yet,
like. But if you want like a good like kind of Spider-Man story that's not Spider-Man, read Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's a very self-conscious Tony Stark.
Because I think I've got that in my list.
They flipped the characters.
Flipped the
books.
Oh, that's the other thing I was gonna say.
Mary Jane's in it now.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah. It's so weird.
Oh, I can't wait to read that.
It's weird with the interaction of Tony Stark and Mary Jane.
It is,
because,
you know, you're just kind of waiting for him to, you know.
Yeah. Of course.
So you got to, the thing is, like, if I wanted to read that series and I want the whole series.
Yeah.
Unlike where you can go on Netflix and add an entire TV series, you have to add each issue to your queue.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Comixology is, too. Like,
yeah.
You
they
can't
should
really,
figure it seems out the like technology a, to yeah, just add a title.
It drives me nuts.
Well, I think part of the problem with that is, like, when it's not unlimited. Well, with unlimited, they should absolutely do
right,
that. But, like, for, like, Comixology, like, I don't want to do that because I don't want to get charged for things that I maybe don't want to buy. And that, for them, is hard to have to do refunds like that. But for
Comixology,
for
unlimited, like,
you can do a
they
wish
would have
list.
A division that would be, like, if you want to subscribe to a book for a year, that they would have that where you could just subscribe to the book and it's a little cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, give you the idea that it's a little cheaper, but, you know. In a week, they'll do it because they're listening to this podcast.
Well, I hope so. I hope somebody's listening. Add the ability to add a series to Marvel Unlimited in its entirety, and it'll update when a new issue comes out.
I told him, like, people at DC are listening because the day after we complained about their company,
they announced Rebirth.
So. Oh, and I was like, I sent him a message, and I said, hey, I think somebody at DC's listening to our podcast.
Most good companies have somebody in charge of doing nothing but monitoring social media.
Well, and the fact that we called it disappointing contact, like the disappointing content, the story of DC Comics or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it was just
but,
that's
yeah.
a good.
Burn. And I tagged them. In
I literally came up with that, and I was like, oh, that's just too good. So
disappointing's okay because that insinuates that they're capable of better.
They are.
They're so, well, because I mean, as younger comic book collectors, Johnny and I were both skewed DC more than Marvel. So for me, like, this whole Marvel thing is new. I probably went 10 years where the only Marvel book I bought was Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And, like, I wasn't buying X-Men books because they were at a creative low. I don't buy Avengers books. You know, I would get Hulk books here and there.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I get the Hulk book. I get three of the Spider-Man books. I get three of the X-Men books. You know, so for me, I feel like Marvel's kind of embrace this whole new technology thing, but also, like, they're telling stories for the modern age.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, for DC, like, my favorite DC book right now is Grayson.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad because I feel like if this story used Dick Grayson from the old continuity, like, it would win. It
more
would be
story.
Like Hawk. It would be like Hawkeye.
So
the Matt Fraction Hawkeye
story.
Yeah. I mean, he got killed.
Yeah.
And I used air quotes there, people. I know you heard him. So, but he got killed, and then, you know, he's in this spy organization now called Spiral, and, you know, it's just a really interesting
story.
Spiral,
S-P-Y.
No. It's I. It's, is it? Yeah. Because Spirals, that's with the Y, is the Spider-Man thing.
Oh, okay.
So. I was like, a spy organization called Spire. It's a terrible pun.
But they...
It is, but they would use it, you know?
But it's just interesting with him, and, you know, he's trying to figure out, like, who... Like, just like when he left the Teen Titans to become Nightwing, or, well, when he left Batman, and then when he left the Teen Titans and came back as Nightwing, like, he's trying to find, like, who he is in this world, and... They don't have the 75 years of history to draw from.
Yeah.
It's 5 years of convoluted nonsense.
Yeah.
And
that's what happened with New 52. It was just, they took away everybody's story.
Yeah.
And literally tried to shoehorn it all into a 5-year continuity.
Well, they fully retconned every storyline, every character line, except for Batman and Green Lantern. And then for Batman and Green Lantern, they just shoved everything into 5 years. So, like,
had a different Robin every year.
There's been 5 Robins in 5 years. Yeah. So it's like an internship program. Green Lantern, the, you know, Blackest Night happened. The Sinestro Corps War happened. Like, all the White Lantern stuff happened.
Yeah. So you're saying in the universe's timeline, literally 5 years have passed in all these things.
Well, becoming
Batman happened, and then he's now been Batman for 5 years. Like,
So, and he's had 5 Robins.
And he's had 5 Robins.
So
It's one of those things where it was like he was active before, like, the Justice League. Like, the Justice League number one was the beginning of their continuity.
So, question, like, in the DC universe, had anything happened prior to this 5-year period, or was it just our basic world?
There were superheroes. Like, they've said that there was people that were doing things. Like,
but they Bruce don't mention Wayne them was by name.
Active, but he was the only one that was really active. Like, Batman was around, but he was like a shadow. You know, he was a legend.
The urban myth.
Yeah, the urban myth of Batman was
so
around.
So this is a world that doesn't have heroes in it until just... Like, they're just awakening to, like, our world, like, is full of superheroes.
Literally, I think Green Lantern, like, had just gotten his ring when he shows up in Justice League.
Yeah.
Flash had his powers for maybe a few months.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman shows up out of nowhere.
Do they make a... Is there any, like, reasoning they say, you know, kind of like in Shadowrun, they have... You guys... Shadowrun fans at all? Have you read the books or anything?
No.
Where, like, this event happens, it brings magic back, and it explains why everybody wants.
Yeah, but no, they never explain that.
No.
So, okay.
But, like, so when Green Lantern shows up in the Justice League, he's like, Hal Jordan's got, or he's like, Green Lantern's got this. Like, he refers to himself in the third person the entire time. It's like, if you guys didn't ruin the character enough with that movie that you put out.
I've only seen that with the sound off.
Wow. Yeah, How was it?
That's not even a good way to watch it.
It was very funny. I was at Chizek's and it was just on the background, no sound. And I was just like, this looks terrible.
Another movie that used a cloud as their villain.
Jeez, man. Yeah.
I'm so afraid of weather. All right. So, you know, I think digital is you know, going to get just more prevalent. I think it's going to help get younger readers in. I think companies like Madefire with the motion comics are going to help for younger readers. There's a new service called Comic Blitz. It's like Marvel Unlimited, where it's $9.99 a month, but it's like Archie Comics, Valiant.
I love Archie.
It's those older ones, but, like, the problem is you know, you get to the point where you're paying like $9.99 a month to 5 services.
I would say start with Hoopla, though, because, you know, if you have a library card, you can use Hoopla for free.
So, yeah, no, that's awesome. I wrote down. I'm going to totally check that out. All right, so speaking of DC, I don't know if you saw the news. I know you've seen the show notes. They announced this past week they're resurrecting Hanna-Barbera books.
But not really resurrecting. They're reimagining the
much better
Hanna-Barbera universe.
So they're going all Battlestar Galactica on the Hanna-Barbera-verse.
It's really, like, weird what they're doing, I guess.
So they announced 4 books.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. Future Quest.
Here, while he's talking
Wacky,
about it, read the description of Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
Right there. Raceland and the Flintstones. All right, so if you haven't heard, I'm just going to real quick. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. Let's see, where is it? A unique take on Freddy, Velma, Daphne, Shaggy, and Ruby Roo. Those meddling kids... Their mystery machine are at the center of a well-meaning experiment gone wrong, and they'll need to bring all of their mystery-solving skills to bear, along with plenty of Scooby snacks. Parentheticals. and to find a cure for a world full of mutated creatures infected by a nanite virus that enhances their fears, terrors, and baser instincts. Zombies. So. This time, the horrors are real in the apocalyptic near future Badland. All right, so...
I like the part that's the apocalyptic near future Badland.
My biggest problem with this, and please just go Google Scooby-Doo Apocalypse and look at Shaggy.
Yeah, go ahead. Go look
Shaggy, he's got the hipster waxed out mustache. He's got a whole sleeve of arm tattoos.
It's getting worse. You're not even seeing it yet.
Scooby-Doo has this like optical thing. Like the only like so Fred, Velma, and Daphne look like Fred, Velma, and Daphne, except for Fred's got
that's real. That's like cosplayers doing it.
I think Fred has tribal tattoos.
This is cosplayers doing. Nice. He's found pictures of cosplayers.
The ladies who are doing it are really hot.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's an actual comment. Velma. Yeah, I was like, there you go.
Do you guys also have a thing for Velma, or is that just me?
Oh, I like Velma.
I didn't at first, but
I've always
That's not it. Go back out and.
Yeah,
I'll sorry, we're looking on the internet here, people.
The internet, it's so unreliable.
Hold on, I got it for you.
Scooby-Doo.
I have a link right here.
Do you have it? Oh, okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I clicked the wrong link, but
I was gonna say type DC Comics up there, and it might do it.
But anyway, okay, so that's the first one. The second one is Future Quest, which sounds really cool. It's a space ghost with here you go.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I.
So Future Quest is Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is the character designs are by Jim Lee and the origin story is by Jim Lee and Keith Giffen.
It's a strong writing.
Yeah.
Group. I mean, Keith Giffen's been around forever.
Yeah.
And you know, if it's going to be a comedy book, you couldn't get like a better writer for that.
Right.
And that, but and is it going to be a comedy book? I don't know. That's the thing.
This picture leads me to believe it's going to have some humor to it.
Yeah. But Howard Porter's the artist, like the regular artist on it. And he's pretty awesome. He's worked on Justice League of America and that.
Now,
and
do you think this is possible because of Afterlife with Archie?
I think that's where they're going with it, is because of Afterlife with Archie. Because
I feel like
if nobody knows what that's talking about, it's the one more of a horror-based Archie book. I've read a few issues.
I'm just going to say this about just Archie in general over the last, like, 5 years. They have been crushing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you read the new Archie book.
I haven't started the new Mark Waid. No.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Fiona Staples did the first three issues of Archie.
Oh, did she really?
And then, what's her name? I just brain farted.
I can't remember the second artist.
It sounds like Amy Lee, but that's not.
Yeah.
Like Amy Lee from Evanescence. Yeah. Yes, we're nerds. Anyway, all right, so Future Quest sounds awesome. It's got Space Ghost, the Herculoids, Birdman, Mitor! Frankenstein Jr., and then, of course, the crew from Johnny Quest.
Well, it looks like it's going to be one of those books where Johnny's just recruiting people to fight stuff.
Yeah.
And that. So it's like, you know, you couldn't have thought of a better book to do Johnny Quest, literally, with a group of Hanna-Barbera characters. I mean, I can't wait to see the Herculoids and Johnny Quest together.
Yeah. Is Captain Caveman going to be turning?
That would be cool.
I'll be honest. I'm just excited to have Space Ghost out from behind the talk show desk and back to like doing what Space Ghost does.
Oh, yeah. There was a story they did a few years ago with him where it was like a miniseries that DC released.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was awesome because it was literally like an origin story for Space Ghost. They had Alex Ross covers, so every cover was like a beautiful cover, and then there was an awesome story inside, so it was like double treat. I bought that every single issue. I bought the single issues of that, and usually that's something where I'll be like, I'll buy the trade.
And yeah, but you're getting Alex Ross single issues of awesomeness. Yeah. So all right, so the next one is Wacky Race Land, which is a take on the Anthill
Max Wacky Races.
It says take the Anthill Mob, Penelope Pitstop, and Dick Dastardly, mix in a healthy dose of Mad Max, and you get this dark and gritty take on Hanna-Barbera's Wacky Races.
So does that mean, like, Dastardly Dog's gonna have, like, chains on his nipples?
That's what I was thinking, like, he's gonna actually be probably a dog. He's gonna be a dog that looks mutated. But, like, it's funny because it even says the vehicle designs are by Mark Sexton, who did a lot of the designs on Mad Max Fury Road.
This is awesome.
So I'm like, that I'm like, okay, that one's like,
through that one to see if that's one I want to get for sure. And then the last one is the Flintstones, and just, you know, if you guys get a chance, like, go look these up. And there'll be a link in the show notes. But the Flintstones art is, like, the creepiest thing ever for the cover, because it looks like John Goodman. It looks like Rick Moranis. Like,
yeah.
Becky, yeah, the only one that does Betty is, and
I mean,
Wilma.
She looks like Elizabeth McGovern, but Betty does not look like Rosie.
Well, good.
No, they definitely went a different route.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's one where it's just like, you know, I don't know.
I'll pick up the first issues. I will pick up the first issues just because it's more Hanna-Barbera than DC Comics. I'm, you know, I think we all have a love for Hanna-Barbera.
Oh, absolutely. Especially growing up, well, we're very close to Kings Island here, and I feel like that's a huge connection.
So if you're not familiar with Kings Island, there's an episode of the Brady Bunch. Go watch it. It's everything you need to know.
And then the Hanna-Barbera land.
Yep. Well, great. I mean, how old are you?
38.
Yeah, so we're...
Yeah,
me too,
we're all in the same... Yeah.
But I grew up like
Smurf
here.
Yeah,
that's all I got to say.
Smurf fried, yeah. Smurf ice cream.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Yeah. You had a Quick Draw McGraw.
Yeah.
McGraw.
Well, just
I can't
the,
speak.
The characters, just like I remember the characters walking around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember just every time I'd see Captain Caveman, I'd run up and give him a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fantastic.
So and then he'd hit me with that big wooden.
Yeah, you literally have like a vinyl statue figure of Fred Flintstone I bought there.
Yeah.
And I know I still have it somewhere, but I'm like, that thing was, you know, one of those things where I come back from Kings Island, like, yeah, I bought this because, you know, and it was like, there was a Hanna-Barbera store.
I wish they still had all that because that's a great property.
Yeah.
I hope this revives some interest in Hanna-Barbera stuff because it's classic. You know?
Well, and just speaking of classic comic books, what's his name? The guy who was the voice of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck.
Oh,
Mel Blanc?
No,
the current one.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it just passed away.
Yeah, it passed away yesterday or today.
Really?
I don't remember. Which kind of sucks because I think he did a great job with both characters' voices.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's obviously going to be a backup somewhere. You know, it happened with Wayne Allwine a few years ago when he passed away.
Yeah,
and they literally had to find somebody to take his place, and it's like, you know, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
I mean, Mel Blanc wasn't going to live forever, so... No. And Mel Blanc played everybody.
You heard the story about him going at, like, on his deathbed, and he was, like, delirious, but he was talking...
Talking as
characters,
yeah.
I remember that was in the, that one documentary, the I Know That Voice or whatever.
Yeah.
So...
I'm sure it was like, you know, they were probably in the room with him at that point. Because he had been everybody, and it's like, you know...
It's kind of a nice
thought. To be on your
thought.
Deathbed, and, like, you know, that's... I don't think that would be a bad way to go.
Yeah.
With all right. A bunch of characters around.
So I'm going to fire, like, we've had a couple, like, big things break this week. I'm going to fire just quick hits of both of you and get your thoughts. First picture is of Chris Hemsworth as the receptionist at Ghostbusters headquarters.
He's sexy.
I didn't see those.
You haven't seen that yet?
What?
Oh, man.
No.
Are you not on Facebook?
It's Janine. It's Janine as a man.
So Janine was a badass, right?
Yeah.
Like, so is he going to get to be a badass?
Oh,
or
I
are
think,
they going to totally, like, you know, just
I
have him be beefcake?
Because you can tell he's probably a decent comedic actor.
Well, I mean, the scenes of him from Vacation, which I haven't seen yet.
No, I haven't seen that
But, like, in the previews and stuff, especially, like, the Red Band preview, he was hilarious.
There's him on a motorcycle. As the character.
There you go. Yeah.
So I guess they're going to have him doing something.
All right. So that happened. The wife and I were talking about this today. My problem isn't that it's an all-female cast of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
It's the fact that after Ghostbusters, the quality of Ghostbusters has just gone dramatically downhill.
Didn't like the pink slime and Viggo the Carpathian. And
a lot of do you feel like are you a Ghostbusters 2 apologist or a Ghostbusters 2
I enjoy it.
I like it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
But my very close friend Kelly, he hates it. He feels like it was like a betrayal of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But he's excited for this because I do feel like it's going back to basics.
And that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
So
and Paul Feig's really talented.
Yeah.
So I have no qualms about
it. I'm kind of just hope that the original Ghostbusters show up in it.
They're in it.
Yeah, so, you know.
Except for Harold Ramis, of course.
Well, and you know what would be cool is it was like a ghost of Egon that they capture and put into the containment unit.
Yeah.
That would just be fun.
Yeah.
All right, then they announced that the Flash is going to show up on Supergirl on CBS.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's awesome.
I haven't seen the new Supergirl. I've seen some of the new Flash, and I really think it's great. I saw the still of them kind of racing each other.
Well, that was a promo picture from like long ago. Oh, really? That's not even what Barry's suit looks like anymore.
The season started, and I think it was like Hollywood Reporter or something. Oh, okay. Like, did a photo shoot.
That was a really fun. Just from the photo, I was like, this looks like it'd be a really fun pairing.
Well, and I was talking to Brian about it, you know, before we were recording, like, and I said it makes sense because the Flash is already jumping worlds on his own series, and I'm like, it makes sense to be able to pull viewers in for the Flash.
Well, it's nice that they're finally doing a neat crossover with characters that thematically feel like they belong.
I kind of wish it was the other way around, that she was coming to the CW, but I understand why he's going to her show, because that show needs the ratings help. The CW show doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But quality wise, the stuff on the CW is, which I can't believe I'm saying this, is just vastly higher quality than what's on CBS for the superhero stuff.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like reversey world.
Well, I don't know. Do you watch The 100? On the CW?
I haven't seen it.
It's my favorite CW show. Ever. It's all on Netflix.
I keep saying I have to quit my job so I can absorb all the great content that's in the world.
You won't
now.
Be able to pay for the content. That's
true. Just give up sleep.
Okay, I'll do that. So.
I don't want to give that up either.
All right, and then we're a week away from Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to go see Deadpool?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm excited for it. I think I'm going to revive the Deadpool kills
I think it was today Ryan Reynolds was posting stuff on Twitter that were Lego spoilers, where he was posting what looked like Lego sets, but it's Deadpool. Okay. And it's supposed to be stuff from the movie. And on one of the pictures I seen, Deadpool is riding a flying horse. So I'm like, okay, this is gonna happen.
Have you seen the meme that's going around that says if Stanley turns up in the Deadpool movie, Deadpool will recognize him as Stanley?
Well, Stanley is in it. He said it's his favorite cameo yet.
Yeah, that's
so. Really, then it's definitely
Already said he's gonna break the fourth wall and everything. So I get this like rap that I'm like a big Deadpool fan or bigger Deadpool fan than I am. Like I like the character, don't get me wrong, but you know I'm definitely excited for this because I do like Ryan Reynolds.
Deadpool's an example of something that came along after I was a comic book fan.
Yeah.
Like when I took my break, Deadpool came along, yet it's one of the few things that sustained throughout that time. So I came back to comics not knowing anything about Deadpool other than the fact that he had a suit that looked kind of like Spider-Man's suit.
Yeah.
And I
kind of like Deathstroke.
So I started reading Deadpool and
he's still the merc with the mouth.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, it's like, yeah. The character doesn't change.
The character's really great because like, well, I started reading it with the Brian Posehn Dead Presidents.
So you on the Unlimited, I don't know if it's on there, look up Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I've got that in my queue. Yeah.
It's four issues.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, to the point where, like, at the end, he literally breaks the fourth wall and comes into, like, reality.
Oh,
and what happens next is just
killer. I like that sort of stuff. I know it seems like there is a lot of, like, hate for him, I'm learning. Like, I don't know why that is.
You know, I think it's because the overexposure.
You think that? Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of like Harley Quinn. It's the same way where Harley Quinn is loved and hated at the same time. And it's just the fact that, you know, they're villains that people, like, will assimilate to because they're funny.
Well, it's the perfect time, I think, for, like, a Deadpool movie.
Yeah.
Because people who are not comic book people have also been inundated with superheroes, whereas we grew up reading comic books, we were already inundated, so when we read those things, we're like, this is hilarious because these are the tropes I'm used to.
And it's a rated R movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of breaking the mold for everything. It's one where Ryan Reynolds came out and said, like, 24 hours after they leaked the, it was leaked. I don't know if they leaked it or not.
Yeah. But
after that test footage got leaked, the movie was greenlit within 24 hours because of the reaction. I will say this. If you guys are fans of Deadpool, fans of superhero movies, and you want to see more like R-rated like adult versions of these characters, go see it at least twice because that will speak volumes.
Right.
So, and apparently in the fall, they're going to release an even gorier version.
The porn
which just came out.
Yeah. That's where my love for Velma came from.
Headpool.
Damn it. Trademark that.
Headpool, TM. All right.
Vivid, contact Freddie Morris.
Just reach out to him at nightoflamianpodcast.com. All right. So, hey, thanks for coming in, man.
This has been great.
Yeah. You got to come back for sure.
Yeah, I'll do
definitely.
But, so where all can people find you? as Freddie Morris. And then where can they find the Night of the Living podcast?
Okay. Well, Night of the Living podcast is notlp.com. So just the initials, or you can spell out nightoftheLivingPodcast.com. We're on Twitter, NOTLP, Facebook, NOTLP, Instagram, Night of the Living podcast spelled out. I'm personally on Twitter, Freddie NOTLP. Also listen to Whorehound Radio. You can go to whorehound.com for the more information about that. Read Whorehound magazine. You know, you'll see my work in
buy there. Buy the magazine.
Subscribe to the magazine.
Yeah.
Because you save a little money.
What are they up to, like 51, 52 now?
Man, that's a good question. You're better with numbers on things I work on than I am.
Can I pirate that? Is that on like...
That's a good question.
Is that on like Pirate Bay or anything?
Probably. No,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I hear the back issues are expensive.
You know, magazines are going the way of the dinosaur.
Right.
But it is one of the magazines that I still buy monthly.
Yeah.
Like bi-monthly, you know. It comes out when it comes out, but it's like, I'm not that big of a horror fan, but I enjoy reading.
It's a great magazine.
I enjoy reading
yeah.
a magazine where people are passionate about what they're writing.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, there's not a lot of magazines out there where most, you know, most magazines are just, you know.
Commercials.
Commercials.
Yeah, yeah, this is definitely, they consider themselves like, I think I've even heard them call themselves a fan magazine. It's definitely, there's collectibles. I know you're into collectibles, like, so if you are into you know, any of these trends of, I love that
that's from Johnny,
you know, any of these, the big toy companies. Nathan's background is, he used to write for a toy, Nathan is Hanneman is the editor of the magazine, and he used to write for a major collectible magazine, and so there's a focus on that.
Nice.
Yeah,
movie stuff, classic stuff, contributors all over. Great stuff.
That's what I mean. It's like, you know, it's definitely a group of passionate people that, you know, share different parts of that passion.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of information in that book.
And we all get together twice a year for Whorehound Weekend. So go to whorehoundweekend.com and you can find out all about that. I know hotels can be tough at this point to get, but tickets are still selling like crazy.
Cincinnati's coming up in March and Indianapolis is in September.
Check Airbnb if you can't find a hotel.
Yeah, Airbnb is a good way to go, especially you could probably find something in the neighborhood.
So with Whorehound this year, what Walking Dead guests are like? Because usually it's like a big, like,
Alexander Breckenridge, Scott is going to be there.
Yeah.
Herschel, sorry. People name is Herschel. No Norman Reedus this year.
No.
Nah,
this one's more of an X-Files focused one. Mitch Pileggi's there. Cancer Man's there.
Stephen Williams will be there.
Yeah, Stephen Williams just got announced.
Or he's always the Jason Voorhees hunter to me.
Yeah.
A nightmare.
Or see, I'm 21 9. Jump Street on him.
It's yeah, like, 21 know? Jump Street. Oh, yeah.
Supernatural. He's on Supernatural.
Yeah,
too,
he was on Supernatural. Madkin and Mick, who was on Twin Peaks, will be there.
Yeah,
oh, cool.
It's her. I think it might be her first convention.
They're doing a Sleepwalkers reunion, aren't they? With her and
I can't remember.
I can't remember his name either.
Curtis Armstrong is listed, who was Booger in Revenge of the Nerds.
Booger, and he's been on Supernatural.
Yeah, Supernatural. You'll know Joe Turkel from The Shining. He was the bartender in The Shining.
Oh, yeah. He was in Blade Runner also.
But, in Blade Runner, he was the head of the corporation, right?
Yeah, and, the androids were after him, yeah.
And Danny Lloyd, who played Danny. Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at your website right now, and I like this little buy the app, review it, tell your friends.
Oh, NOTLP.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man, you guys are way ahead of us. We don't have an app. We don't have a Twitter feed on our website.
Well, I can't buy your app.
The important part.
I'm not allowed to buy your app because it's not on a Windows phone. So
we're on Windows phone.
Are you now?
Yeah, that's what they tell me. The thing about our app is, it's created by the company who syndicates our podcast.
Oh, okay.
So it's always a mystery to me. People will ask me questions about where to find the app and everything. Yeah. I'm like, the company that makes the app. So then I have to go to them and find out.
Did you when you guys seen The Force Awakens, you did a review on there, didn't you?
Yeah, we do bonus content. So for people, because the app helps pay for our hosting. It's one of the ways we sell t-shirts. That's the main thing that helps pay for the hosting, but people also donate. Because and you'll find
which
this.
You can get the current shirt still.
Yeah, we have the Halloween theme we did. It's like a tribute to Ben Cooper masks. So it has our logo.
Yeah,
and
Kelly designed it, and cool. It looks pretty awesome. I haven't got that yet.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great tee. Yeah. I was really excited. That one I felt like it was a great throwback to growing up like in the 70s and 80s. But that's a big thing, and I think you guys will find this as your listenership grows too. Like, it gets more expensive to podcast. which is like the most ironically horrible thing that happens is like, as you become more successful with the show, the more it costs. More money. And I'm like, oh God, why? You know, not like, that I'm complaining.
So this is like completely bootstrapped how we do this. And like off air, I'll like show you kind of like, cause it's all like free.
Yeah. Well, there's some good free ways to do it. Like, for anybody that's getting into podcasting, there's ways, it's just, there is a point where you hit like a breaking point.
Well, and there, it's more of the equipment.
That's part of it. Yeah, part of it is upgrading like, and replacing stuff as it breaks.
I mean, it's been, what, probably 4 years since I've been over there and recorded with you guys. But I mean, like, you know, you were using stuff that you had used when you were a DJ.
You
told me that, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
like,
my mixer's 13 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's kind of
funny.
Spit
and duct tape.
It still works. It still works. But,
it works, but you MacGyvered the shit out of it at this point.
But it's definitely
labor. We're totally MacGyvered.
Yeah, you know.
I'm always like, ooh, is there there's a bit of software I can use for this? Sweet.
So,
there's an app
like
for that.
It's like a patchwork podcast.
That's exactly.
Well, like, like when I upgrade and get the 6S Plus, like, we're totally going to record a whole podcast just from the iPhone.
Oh yeah, wow. The microphone on the iPhone too is really really
well.
Good.
And like I use
you kids
like,
in your newfangled.
So
stuff?
Like we did we do unboxing video or we've started to do unboxing videos for the monthly subscription boxes that we got. And the last one, which is it's up on our YouTube channel, guys. I did it all from the iPhone. Like I cut it, I put the music in, like the transitions, all from my iPhone 5S. Uploaded it and never ever saw the computer.
That's so great.
And I can't wait. I can't wait to get the bigger phone because I'm gonna start doing like way more stuff.
The one thing that like, and this is behind this like techie stuff, but I love talking about other podcasters about this stuff.
Sure.
Like, they've got to make it easier to actually post your content from a smartphone.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing all the syndication services kind of, you can kind of do it, but right. Like, that would be, that's going to really open up podcasting to a lot more people. And also, you know, getting away from that thing where when you hit a certain point of content or bandwidth usage, like, I feel like, you know, I'm not knocking the syndication services, but I feel like they're making enough money.
Well, right. I mean, your first, what was it, first 74?
Yeah.
Episodes were on a different.
That's how it started. We did 74. By the time we got to episode 74, people couldn't get our show
right
anymore.
Yeah, you couldn't download like the first. I think I had gone back and tried to find like the first episode because I had never heard it.
We ran out of bandwidth.
Yeah.
Like, because what happens is, and it wasn't even that big of a listenership. It was just like, you know, that's what it, for people who are into podcasting, if you're doing that, like, there is a point you hit where you're like, it'll get to the first so many people that want it. And
yeah,
then
I only keep our last 10 like live and available. But if you want to listen to any of the earlier episodes, they're all on our website. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I figured that out real early. So
yeah,
but
that's
awesome
a good way to go.
So, nightofthelivingpodcast.com. You can find Freddie or is it in
NOTLP?
That dyslexia thing with the with the acronym there. All right, so subscribe to us on iTunes, please. That would be awesome. Leave a 5-star review.
Five-star reviews.
You guys deserve 5 stars.
So,
thank you.
So leave a 5-star review, write a review, and subscribe, and Johnny will come to your house, and if there's snow, he will look at it for you.
I will.
And tell you you need to shovel it.
Yeah.
Try to make it melt.
I'll bring a flamethrower over. We'll take care of that stuff real fast.
All right, and you can find us at infamouspodcast.com. We're Infamous Podcast on Facebook and Twitter, and Instagram announced today that certain accounts are going to start getting the ability to switch back and forth, and I'm hopeful because of my other life I might get early access to that, so we might have an Instagram account at some point.
Right now I'm just posting
with
posting
all this
that.
You should all the
no I have
stuff.
An Instagram
he does
I mean for the show I think all this stuff is so great.
Well, you should go see my Instagram account.
I'm going
then.
To
so it's Instagram at Brian Tudor. I'm Twitter at Brian Tudor. Johnny is Johnny Podorf on Twitter. He's J. Michael Podorf on Instagram, which he needs to change so it's all the same one way or the other.
Yeah.
Branding, dude. We've talked about this. hey, if you want to contact us and ask questions, it's theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. And if you're interested in writing blog posts for us, send us writing samples because we are looking to expand that part of our website and we want to have people help out with that.
Yeah.
We have a new blogger coming on soon.
Soon.
And we'll announce her later. We'll probably have her come in like share. But she's going to do some pretty cool stuff because she's relatively new to all this nonsense.
Yeah, she's a new comic book reader. So
All right, so that is the show this week, episode 29. Next week we're going to review
Star Trek
2009, celebrating 50 years of Trek. JJ Trek. But anyway, all right, Freddie, thanks for coming in, man.
Hey,
this was awesome. Anytime you want to come back, that would be great. We would be happy to have you.
All right, thanks.
All right, any last words?
Good night, folks.
All right, later.